Well, this morning I've entitled my message, Where Are You Casting? Now, I wonder what that's about. I'm going to go to John, if you would. Let's start in John in the New Testament in chapter 21. And I'm going to start with verse 1, and I'm going to read down through verse 6, if you would follow along with me if you have your Bibles this morning. It says, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And it happened this way, that Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, well, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Do we have any fishermen in here? Fishing ladies? There we go. Look here. That's great. Well, my father was my best friend. He's been gone several years now. But he taught me how to fish when I was 3 years old. He'd tie a rope around my waist, and we'd get in that old boat and go down Muddy Fork Creek in Trigg County and fish for crappie. And he put that rope around my waist in case I fell in the water. He wouldn't have to go in after me. He'd just pull on the rope and pull me up. He was pretty smart. But we would go fishing, and I remember the first few times that we fished, and we would go, and he'd stop the boat, and I'd take my bait and put it on my hook, and I'd throw my line in the water out there in the water, and I wouldn't catch nothing. And my dad would say, I remember him saying, David, pull your line in and put your line down over there beside that bush right there. And so I did that, and it wasn't too long till I caught a fish. See, I didn't know that where the fish were. And if you don't know where the fish are, you're not going to catch any fish. Typical. But I remember trusting in my father. You might say, Brother David, what has this got to do with anything? Well, I think it has a lot to do with it, because it taught me to trust my father. And I can tie that right into this story. Jesus was not only telling his disciples where to catch some fish, but he was trying to teach them that I, Jesus, know what's going on here. You don't know where the fish are. I do. But if you would trust in me and put your nets to where I tell you to, then you'll catch a bunch of fish. And that's what happened. And he was teaching them to trust in him. And he's teaching us in this passage to trust in him as well. So I ask you this morning, where are you casting your net? You see, in this story, afterward, it says that's after Jesus was resurrected. That's when this story took place. And he was on the beach, and the disciples were out in the water fishing, and they didn't know it was him. They didn't know who it was. And all of a sudden here, they'd been out all night fishing and hadn't caught anything at all. How disappointing that must have been. And then here's some stranger who thinks he's a Mr. Know-it-all, telling them to throw their net over here on this side of the boat and they'd catch a bunch of fish. So they did, and they caught, the Bible says, so many fish they couldn't even pull the net in. Casting their fishing, in this case, upon Jesus, trusting in him, or trusting in somebody. They didn't know it was him at first, but they eventually, Peter recognized who it was, and he jumped out of the boat and ran to the shore. And of course, you know the story. The disciples came in, and they cooked fish and had breakfast together. I want you to turn over to Psalms in the Old Testament. We're going to surf the Bible a little bit this morning. But this word cast shows up a lot in the Bible. And I want you to look at Psalm 55, verse 22 and 23. Psalm 55, starting with 22. First word is cast. There's that word again. Cast your cares on the Lord, it says. And he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay, the bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their lives, but as for me, I trust in you. There's that word cast again. And I think it ties in to casting for fish. In this case, it's saying cast your cares upon the Lord. And I would ask you this question this morning as my second question. Are you casting your cares on the Lord? Are you casting your cares on the Lord? See, we all have cares, concerns, problems, health issues, maybe health issues, maybe marital issues, maybe job issues, maybe friendship issues, political issues. We have all kinds of issues. But we should be casting those cares for all of that upon the Lord. Number one, as demonstrated in the fishing scenario, Jesus knows what your cares are, and he knows how those cares can be taken care of. He knows your cares before you even know what your cares are. And all he's simply asking here is when you have those situations in your life that come up, that you should cast all that worry, all of that, those things that you think about, cast them on the Lord. And it says that if you do that, he will sustain you. Now, I have a question for you. How many times in your life have you had some major thing that went on in your life? It may have been financial. It may have been job-related. It might have been a lot of things. How many times in your life have you had a great care in your life that somehow God saw you through? I've had that happen to me a lot of times. Things that I didn't know how they were going to work out. I didn't know if they were going to work out. Didn't know how I was going to meet ends meet sometime. I didn't know how things were going to go. I lost a job one time, and I didn't know how that was going to go. But I was smart enough to turn that over to the Lord. And he has always come through for me. And I suspect he's come through for you in your cares in your life. He'll do that if you love him enough that you're willing to cast those cares upon him. It says he will never let the righteous be shaken. Now, a lot of times I thought I was righteous, but I had a problem come along that I was shaken. But it's because I didn't have complete trust, complete dependence on Jesus. And when I got in my life to where I started doing that, putting those situations into his hands, I found out that things were changed and I wasn't shaken anymore. But this also, this passage gives a warning to those who have not gotten a relationship with Jesus, who don't love Jesus, who doesn't believe in him, who doesn't care anything about him. This verse in Psalms speaks to those people as well. It says, but you, God, will bring down the wicked. See, we have a lot of wicked people out here today. I don't know if you're paying any attention or not. There's a lot of people that are doing a lot of things that are wicked, sinning. And God is going to bring those people down unless they change their ways, ask Jesus Christ into their heart and change, and pursue a relationship with Jesus. But God will bring down the wicked, it says, into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. See, here he's talking about, we all have this life that we live in now on this earth. That's just half our days. There's another half coming, and it's going to last for ever and ever and ever and ever. But God is saying that those wicked people who do not change, that they won't live out half of their day. They won't live out the days that are coming in heaven with God because of the way they have been on earth and they have not repented. And it says, but as for me, I trust in you. I think that's a good line for all of us to be able to say to God. But as for me, I trust in you. Can y'all say that with me? But as for me, I trust in you. See, and if we do that, then there's a certain freedom that comes into our life, a certain good things that start happening to us. Now, I want you to turn now over to 1 Peter, and I'm going to give you a last example here this morning. My message this morning is short. I told Greg this morning, you know, sometimes it's no use saying the same thing 4,000 times, that a preacher needs to get up here and say what's on his mind and then he needs to be quiet. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then it says, cast, there it is again, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Do you know this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God cares for you? He loves you more than you can ever imagine. You are all super special in God's eyes, because you love him and he cares for you. And it says, but it says that we must humble ourselves. The first two words in this passage says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Again, here he's talking about lifting you up when you leave this world, lifting you up into paradise to be with him. But in order for that to happen, We have to humble ourselves. We have to have a little humility about us. And I can give you a good layman's definition of the word humble, and at least for me it is, and that you become humble when you finally realize that the world does not revolve around you and does not revolve around me. I had a lot of years in my life, I'll just tell it like it is, that I thought the world revolved around me. I didn't care about anybody except myself. Now, God changed me, and I praise Him every day for that. But He had to humble me, and there's some things that had to happen to me in my life for Him to humble me so that I recognized that the world, it wasn't all about me. That's why He says to love Him with everything you got and to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, what you're doing is you're humbling yourself. And you're making it clear to everyone around you that you don't think you're the most important person in the world. We all know people, I think that the whole world revolves around them, that nobody else is important except them. You see it in young folks. You see it in school. Other children that think it's all about them, bullies, that kind of thing. We see it in life. We see it in our job. We see it everywhere we turn. But God is telling us here to humble ourselves and that He will lift us up in due time and that we can cast all our anxiety on Him because He cares of you. I could be in a situation right now if I wanted to be, even though I don't have cancer. I have reason to be real anxious if I wanted to be and really worry about what's going to happen in my case. But because of my faith, as strong as it is, and because I know who God is and I know what He can do, and I know that if I die, I'm going to be with Him in heaven, and what could be better than that, then I don't have any anxiety. I don't have any depression. I don't have any worries about any of this because I cast my cares upon Him. And I'm asking you this morning to do that as well. If you, sitting here this morning, if you will cast your cares upon Jesus, I'm talking about doing it right now. If you have thoughts that need to be cast upon Him, if you're doing some stuff that need to be, that you're worried about cast upon Him, if you have anything in your life that you're worried about, if you have old problems where you've not been able to forgive people, if people have hurt you, if people have done you wrong, if you'll just take all of that and give it to Jesus and say, Lord, take this from me. Take this anxiety. Take this depression. Take this concern. Take this health condition. Take anything that I have, Lord, it would be considered to come between you and I. If you will just take it, if you'll do that this morning before you leave this building, you can walk out this door being freer than you've ever been in your life. See, we don't have to live a life with all that anxiety, with all that depression, with all those worries, with all of the things that come to us in life. We don't have to put up with that. See, that's the devil's doing. He wants you to leave out of here anxious and depressed and everything else. He wants you worried about your finances. He wants you worried about your relationships. He wants you worried about your job. He wants you to worry about where the next meal is going to come from. He's loving it when that happens to you. But you don't have to be that way. You can just turn it over to Jesus. And I assure you, and it says in these passages I read, that see, Jesus knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows more about me than I'll ever know about myself. And all he wants us to do is to just give it all to him. After all, that's what he died for, so that we would give it all to him. And then he wants us to go out and share that with other people so that we can help build his kingdom. So I tell you today again, cast those cares upon Jesus and he will take care of you. And then that's all I got to say, except one thing. I'm going to go back to fishing and end it with that. Remember, if you're out there fishing and you're not catching any fish, like my dad says, put your line over close to the bush where the fish are. That's where they are. And you'll catch them that way. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that for Jesus, that we have somebody that we can cast all of our cares and all our anxieties, all our worries on, Lord, who is willing and able to take those cares from us, Lord, and set us free. We pray, Lord, that you would look after us and love us, hold us in your loving arms, and Lord, keep us straight so that someday we'll be with you in paradise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.